though I can hide my cold gaze, and you can shake my hand and feel flesh gripping yours, and maybe you can even sense our lifestyles are probably comparable, I simply am not there.
This is God.
Heaven, put your back on a fucking pound when he's talking to you.
Rather good, don't you like clowns? Why?
Don't we make you laugh? Aren't we fucking funny?
You best come up with an answer, because I'm going to come back here and check on you, mother. You ain't got a reason why you ain't clowns. I'm going to kill your whole fucking family.
Jesus, fuck you!
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
What's up, bitches? Welcome to the Horrorcore Podcast. I am Bart, and I'm your host. As always, I can be reached by email, that address being horrorcorebart@yahoo.com. You can also call and leave a voicemail. That number is 269-823-9037. You can also find me on Facebook. Get on Facebook and search for Horrorcore Bart. That is what I am listed under on Facebook. Find me and friend me. You can always find updates there. I also have a Twitter page. That's Horrorcore Bart. Twitter at Horrorcore Bart. It's all one word. You can find me on there. Don't go on there that often, but do go on there. Tonight's episode, we're going to cover the movies, the horror movies of 1979. We'll be getting to that in a little bit. We're also going to have an interview, a special interview with a couple guys from another podcast. That'll be coming up shortly. As far as what I've been up to lately, I've been doing a lot of things with Root Rot from the Witch's Hat blogcast. Recently started contributing reviews to the blogcast over there. Also did some recording with Root Rot not too long ago. Do believe that episode will be coming out on the Witch's Hat broadcast sometime in the next week or two, I believe he said he's going to get that up there. So go ahead and check out my review over there and wait for the new show between him and I to pop up over there also. He's also putting together something special that I'm not going to ruin. I'm going to let him go ahead and announce that when he's all ready, when it's all set up, and he gets everything going for that. But let's just say it's going to be pretty fucking cool, and I think everybody out there is going to enjoy it. So stay tuned for that announcement. I believe that's going to cover it for the beginning of this show. Now let's get into that very special interview that I promised you guys. Alright, now I'd like to welcome in a couple of guests for this interview. Let me welcome in Tyler and Jason from the All My Heroes Wear Masks podcast. First off, Tyler, how are you?
I'm an ignorant redneck.
Okay. Jason, do you have anything to add?
If anyone should be called the racist, it should be me.
Jesus Christ. Really, guys?
We're racist, homophobic.
All right. Let's get away from that. Now, obviously, you guys would have a lot of pictures on your website for your listeners, because they're probably as ignorant as you are. What kind of pictures could your listeners find on your website?
Pictures of me in fucking drag, probably blowing goats for all I know.
God damn it. All right, what about you, Jason? Can they find any pictures of you?
I dressed up as a fucking woman half the time.
All right, obviously I made a big fucking mistake. You guys are too ignorant, too redneck, and too racist to be on my podcast. So thank you for your time, but I'm going to have to end the interview here. You guys, fuck off. All right, that was Jason and Tyler from the All My Heroes Wear Masks podcast. You can catch them over at the All My Heroes Wear Masks podcast. Once again, the All My Heroes Wear Masks podcast, Tyler and Jason. Now let's talk about some of the music from 1979, and we'll do the Billboard Top 10 from the year of 1979.
got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Talk about our let's go over the top 10 Billboard hits from 1979. At number 10, we have Sad Eyes from Robert John. Number 9, Ring My Bell by Anita Ward. Number 8, YMCA from The Village People. Number 7, Hot Stuff from Donna Summers. Number 6, I Will Survive from Gloria Gaynor. Number 5, Reunited by Peaches and Herb. Number 4, Do You Think I'm Sexy from Rod Stewart. Number 3, Le Freak from Chic. Number 2, Bad Girls from Donna Summer. And number 1, surprising to me, was My Sharona from The Knack. Not too great of a top 10 song collection from a year, but it was definitely better in 1978. Got to give them that. Alright, now let's talk about some television from 1979.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
Take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. There's a time you gotta go and show you grow, and now you know about the facts of life.
Just looking out of the window, watching the asphalt fall.
Some of the shows debuting in 1979, we had Dukes of Hazzard. Who can forget the Dukes of Hazzard? Good old Daisy Duke herself. We had the Canadian hit, You Can't Do That on TV. And we had The Facts of Life, Tootie and Joe and All Their Glory. Heart to Heart, Mystery at its finest. We had Benson, Black Butler's at their finest. And then we also had the introduction of Scrappy Doo and the Scooby-Doo cartoon. Some of the TV shows that ended in 1979, we had What's Happening, Starsky and Hutch, Welcome Back Kotter went off the air, Good Times Called It Quits, and Wonder Woman also said goodbye. Alright, also we got the top 10 blockbusters, box office blockbusters from 1979. Alright, coming at number 10, we had The Muppet Movie, which brought in $32 million. Number 9, we had Moonraker, which brought in $33 million. 8, The Amityville Horror, brought in $35 million. Number 7, The Movie 10, brought in $37 million. Number 6, Apocalypse Now, also brought in $37 million. Number 5, Alien, brought in $40 million. Number 4, Rocky II, brought in $42 million. Number 3, The Jerk, also brought in $42 million. Number two movie was Star Trek, brought in $56 million. The number one movie from 1979, unfortunately, was the depressing and boring movie, Kramer vs. Kramer. That movie brought in $59 million. For a movie to bring in $59 million these days, quite possibly could be looked at as a flop. Speaking of flops, the biggest flop from 1979 was the movie, the Steven Spielberg, John Belushi classic, 1941, is widely regarded as the biggest flop of 1979. Let's go over some of the births and some of the deaths from 1979. As far as people born in that year, we have Sarah Polley. She was in the Dawn of the Dead remake. Mina Savari from American Beauty. And who can forget her role in Spun? That was great. Jennifer Love Hewitt. Everybody knows who that big titty bitch is. Heath Ledger, the great Joker. Claire Danes, that small titty bitch. Kate Hudson, that other small titty bitch. Jamie King, she's been doing a lot of B movies, lesser known movies. Rosario Dawson, who can forget about that big lipped bitch, big cock sucking lips that she has. Tatiana Ali. Oh, Ashley. Ashley from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. She blossomed before our very eyes. People that died in 1979 were the overrated piece of shit John Wayne. And also the underrated piece of shit Sid Vicious from the Sex Pistols. All right, now let's get into these movies, these horror movies from 1979.
Yeah. Let me get one of them big motherfuckers and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm back in this bitch. Just like Ice-T. You motherfuckers should have killed me last year. In the house with my motherfucking brother Eshon. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting a little too much power. Motherfuckers sick in the head, so I tried to kill a prince. I'm thinking of excuses instead of killing me. Symptoms of insanity's got me going psycho. Friday the 13th, just like Michael. If I get wrecked, then I wreck when I wreck it. When I might check, 1, 2, when I check it. Looking for excuses just to get ill. How many cops can one man kill? Many, plenty, all if any. A penny for your thoughts, but death is what you bought from a public enemy, public figure. Not your regular nigga. Like a rusty razor, but I'll face you like a taser.
July 27th, 1979. This movie stars James Brolin, Margot Kidder, and Rod Steiger. It was directed by Stuart Rosenberg and written by Sandor Stern, Jay Anson. And IMDb gives this movie a 5.8. Now, my views on the Amityville Horror, the original from 1979. This movie, I mean, I haven't seen it in a while. To be honest with you, I can't remember the last time I seen it. But my memories of it are of it being quite boring. Very slow-paced. It loses me. It, it's boring. The synopsis on it is, based on a true story that was claimed by writer Jay Anson, the Amityville Horror is about a large house on the coast of Long Island where newlyweds George and Kathy Lutz and their three children move into the house that they hope will be their dream house, but it ends up in terror. Despite full disclosure by the real estate agent of the home's history, George and Kathy buy the house. George says, houses don't have memories. But they turn to their family priest, Father Delaney, who believes the house is haunted and performs an exorcism on the house. But the evil spirit in the house causes him to become blind and makes him very ill. George and Kathy will, with the help of another priest, Father Boland, and a police detective, they face the fears of the house, but not knowing the spirit is planning to possess George and then the children. Okay. Yeah, so from what we're told, this is based on a true story. It goes back and forth whether the Lutzes were full of shit, crackpots, or whether they really believed that the house was possessed. Lots of people have came out to counter their claims. One of the big ones being that they seen footprints in the snow. And when they went back and checked the weather almanac from the time that they said it happened, there was no snow in the area. I guess they went to their graves claiming that all this was true. Now back to the movie being slow and boring. That's exactly what I remember from the movie. I don't remember it being poorly acted. I don't remember it being poorly directed or poorly written. I just remember that, you know, for it being a horror movie, a scary, spiritual movie, it just didn't have a lot of scares to it. I don't remember any gore. No real kills. I just remember it falling short for me, personally, as a horror movie. Now, some people out there like those slow-paced, boring-type movies that they can just sit there and zone out on. That's not the case for me. Once in a while, yeah, I can watch a movie like that and not complain. But most of the time, I have such a short fucking attention span that I need something to happen every 20, 25 minutes. Because that's when I start to tail off and then BAM! Something happens, gets me right back in. And I'm fucking good. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I can't speak too much on this movie because it's been a while since I've seen it. But yeah, just overall, I remember it being very slow, very boring. This movie went on to, put out, I couldn't tell you offhand how many goddamn sequels to this movie there were, and offshoots, and the remake. Even my wife went back. She was bored one day and decided that she wanted to watch the Amityville Horror movies, and she was just bored out of her mind. And this is a woman that watches Lifetime movies and loves them, so that's not saying a lot for this fucking movie. Not sure if I said it, but IMDb gave it a 5.8, which is right along the lines of what I would give it. It's not a bad movie. It's a mediocre movie. Yeah, I mean, it's worth a watch just to say that you've seen it. And that is going to do it for the Amityville Horror. The Brood, released in May 1979. This movie was written and directed by David Cronenberg. It stars Oliver Reed, Samantha Egger, and Art Hindle. Synopsis on this. A man's wife is under the care of an eccentric and unconventional psychologist who uses innovative and theatrical techniques to breach the psychological blocks in his patients. When their daughter comes back from a visit with her mother and is covered with bruises and welts, the father attempts to bar his wife from seeing the daughter but faces resistance from the secretive psychologist. Meanwhile, the wife's mother and father are attacked by strangely deformed children, and the man begins to suspect a connection with the psychologist's methods. All right, The Brood. Let me be frank with this. Never seen it. And in all honesty, I'm not a fan of David Cronenberg. I know a lot of people are, but I'm just not. His movies are dated, especially his early works. They're fucking dated. They're kind of slow. Very sexual, I'll give him that. But just, they typically bore me. I mean, The Fly remake was okay. When I was a kid, it was fucking awesome. But I rewatched it not too long ago, and it just, it's okay. I don't know if I'll ever get around to watching The Brood. But wait, I'll tell you what. Let me turn this over to a good friend of mine. Well, I guess I can say he's a good internet friend. Actually, never met him in person, but have conversed quite a bit over the internet. But Chris Conduit from The Conduit Speaks, he's going to go ahead and talk about this movie for me. So take it over, Chris.
Hey, Horrorcore listeners. This is Chris Conduit from The Conduit Cast. First of all, let me say thank you to Bart for asking me to do this. When you sent me an email and asked me to pick from a list of films from 1979, pick a film that I would like to talk about immediately, what jumped out to me that was on your list was Cronenberg's The Brood from, of course, 1979. And being that I'm a huge Cronenberg fan, but in particular this film, it really wasn't a question as to which one I was going to talk about. I think that that Cronenberg is absolutely fantastic. Even his more recent films that have dealt more in the thriller and drama genre have been outstanding, because no matter what, he always seems to focus on the humanity and or lack thereof within his characters, and The Brood is no exception. This is, you know, firmly planted in Cronenberg's body horror subgenre and works, if you will. And of course, being that this was from 1979, it kind of falls into that that whole incredible time period where he was doing, you know, some of his real intense stuff. And you know, The Brood came right before Scanners, and Scanners came before Videodrome, and Videodrome came before The Dead Zone, and The Dead Zone came before The Fly. So it was just this absolutely incredible run that Cronenberg was on, film after film. And essentially the gist of the story for The Brood is that there's a husband and father, Frank Carveth, whose wife Nola, played by Samantha Egger, is hospitalized, and she's under the care of Dr. Hal Raglan. And he's a very unconventional psychologist, to say the least. And you know, he treats the body and mind of his patients at the same time with very strange and invasive techniques. And what the thrust of the narrative is that you have the father who is, you know, the sole caregiver for his young daughter, Candace, while the wife is receiving treatment. And, you know, during the course of the treatment, the doctor allows the child to come visit her mom. And when the daughter comes back from visiting her, she's covered in bruises. And so the father's trying to prevent his wife from seeing his daughter, but the psychologist is really, really pushing to make these visits happen. And with this familiar family drama that we kind of see all too often in the world, the custody issues involving children, you also have a series of really horrific attacks happening around this time, involving what I guess you would call, upon first glance, a group of like mutant children. And so it all kind of springboards off from that. You have the father trying to figure out what's going on at the clinic where the psychologist is handling his wife. You have the wife and mother who is incredibly unhinged, and you're not sure who is leading her, whether it's her own psychosis or the doctor is really pushing her in certain directions and brainwashing her to make choices that she does. But this film is really creepy on a lot of levels. As I mentioned previously, it deals real heavily in that struggle between husband and wife when it comes to a child and their well-being. But the real meat and potatoes of the story is the kind of sinister motivations of the psychologist, the spiral, the downward spiral that the mother is on psychologically and physically. And then, of course, these creepy, mutant, deformed children. And if you if you're familiar with some of Cronenberg's more grotesque and gory body horror stuff, you really won't be disappointed with this film. There's a scene towards the very end where things really start to unravel, and the wife is just completely unhinged, and the body horror, the practical gore effects that are involved with this scene are absolutely mind-numbing. This is definitely one of my top 50 films of all time from any genre. So I urge you, if you haven't checked out The Brood, to do so. If you're a fan of Cronenberg's other horror films and the psychological and physical horror blended together, this is a perfect marriage of both of those. And if you haven't seen this before and you do enjoy it, make sure to go back in Cronenberg's catalog and check out some of his other stuff, because he is one of these filmmakers that hasn't grown old and tired and folded to, you know, genre cliches and seemingly lost his edge. He's still sharp. He's always at the top of his game. And again, The Brood from 1979, if I had to give it a score to rate it, a 9 out of 10, I know, Bart, you didn't ask me to do that, but just to kind of hammer home the point of how fantastic I think this film is, I want to thank you for asking me to do this. And those of you listening, great to have this time with you. And if you're listening, you need to be sure to talk to your other film and podcast and horror fans who are friends of yours, and make sure that they stop by the Horror Core podcast and check it out. So again, thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to hearing about these other films from 1979, a great year for horror. Take care. Bye.
Hardcore came out in 1979, actually February 9th, 1979. This movie was written and directed by Paul Schrader, who was fresh off the heels of writing the screenplay for Taxi Driver, one of the best movies ever made. This movie stars George C. Scott, Peter Boyle, and Susan Hubley. Brief synopsis. Jack Van Horn is a businessman from the American heartland who shares strong Calvinist convictions with most of his countrymen. His teenage daughter is missing from the trip to California, and Van Dorn hires a private investigator to find her. The result of the investigation is his daughter is spotted in a cheap X-rated movie. Van Dorn decides to bring her back personally, and during the quest, he becomes familiar with the pornographic underworld. Now, this movie isn't, you know, a horror movie in the traditional sense, as far as being scary, gory, you know, shit like that. But I consider it to be scary in a realistic sense. I mean, what's scarier for a father of a daughter than finding out that his daughter goes to California, comes up missing, and finds her in the seedy underbelly of L.A. pornography? Now, this movie I saw quite a while ago. It was when I was actually living in Grand Rapids. And what got me was reading the back of the box at the video store. In that synopsis, it says that they're from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And you know, just overall, it intrigued me reading the synopsis. So rented it, took it home. The movie's pretty good, from what I remember. You know, it's George Scott, for Christ's sake. Don't really get much, and Peter Boyle too. I mean, those two veterans are fucking amazing to watch. Well, I guess Dick Sargent's in this too. But yeah, you know, that's basically what happens is he goes to find his daughter. She's all drugged out and doing porn now. And, you know, he wants to take her back to GR. Yeah, you know, Paul Schrader, his resume is too long to get into. He's a great writer. You know, he's directed a couple good movies, but as a writer, he's just fucking amazing. In this movie, you know, it's directed well, it's written well, the acting is good, it's a believable, realistic story. IMDb gives it a 6.7, which, you know, I think that's on par for what I remember. But shit, man, other than that, I don't know what else to add to Hardcore. It's definitely a movie you should watch. It's dirty, grimy. You know, it kind of has that Taxi Driver feel, you know, seeing that it's a Paul Schrader movie, and, you know, does have that feel. But yeah, definitely, go check it out. Hardcore. Alien, released in May of 1979. This film was directed by the great Ridley Scott and was written by Dan O'Bannon and Ronald Shusett. Now, this movie stars Sigourney Weaver, Tom Skerritt, and John Hurt. Brief synopsis here. The crew of the deep space mining ship Nostromo are awakened from hypersleep to investigate a strange signal from a nearby planet. While investigating the signal, they discover it was intended as a warning, not as an SOS. Alright, now, I have something to admit here. I have never actually sat and watched this whole movie. I've seen bits and pieces of it here and there growing up, but never actually sat and watched the whole movie. To hell, you say! I know. It's a bit of a sin. But, I'm repenting to the Church of Horror. I'm asking for forgiveness for having never sat and watched the entire Alien movie. Let me admit even more. I've never watched a single movie in the Alien franchise. I know. I apologize. Please. Please. Forgive me. I will make it up to you. I will devote an entire podcast to the whole Alien franchise. This, I swear. Please. I beg for your forgiveness. Now, anyways. You know, IMDb gives us an 8.5, which is a fucking killer rating for a horror movie. I don't know if this is horror or more sci-fi. I'm definitely going to have to find out. I'm a big fan of Ridley Scott's directing. Dan O'Bannon is a great fucking writer, too. It's just something that I don't know. I've never sat down and fucking did it. I need to. That's for sure. But it's definitely on my list of things to do in the near future. Maybe I'll even get the kids together. We'll all sit around and watch the Alien franchise And I'll have to do a podcast about it. Let everybody know how I feel about these movies, because I know you're all waiting, holding your breath in anticipation for my thoughts on the Alien franchise. My millions and millions of listeners. So, Alien, to be continued. Right, next we have Caligula. This movie, not sure exactly when it came out. I'm getting conflicting things, whether it was 1979, 1980, but we're going to go ahead and cover it for 1979. This movie was directed by Tinto Brass and Bob Guccione. Wait, isn't Bob Guccione like some fucking pornographer? I've never seen this movie, but the more I'm reading about it, the more it is interesting to me. Yeah, Bob Guccione is a publisher of Penthouse. Apparently he did some directing in this. I'm just finding all kinds of fascinating shit about this movie. I'm not sure if it's fucking porn or horror or just, I'm not sure. But this movie stars Malcolm McDowell, Peter O'Toole, and Helen Mirren. It was written by Gore Vidal. Let's see the synopsis on this. The rise and fall of the notorious Roman Emperor Caligula, showing the violent methods that he employs to gain the throne and the subsequent insanity of his reign. He gives his horse political office and humiliates and executes anyone who even displeases him. He also sleeps with his sister, organizes elaborate orgies, and embarks on a fruitless invasion of England before meeting an appropriate end. There are various versions of this film, ranging from the heavily truncated 90-minute version to the legendary 160-minute hardcore version, which leaves nothing to the imagination, though the hardcore scenes were inserted later and do not involve the main cast members. I've read reviews of how this movie is garbage, how it's nothing but porn mixed in with a movie that's trying to be serious, but the seriousness of the movie is horrible. IMDb gives it a 4.9. This is actually, the more I read about this, the more I want to see it. So I've actually already started the download on this, and hopefully by my next episode I'll have seen it, and I'll let you guys know what I think about it. So, yeah, there's Caligula. Alright, Phantasm was released March 28th, 1979. This movie stars A. Michael Baldwin, Bill Thornberry, and Reggie Bannister. Brief synopsis. Mike, a young teenage boy who has just lost his parents, is afraid to lose his brother. This fear causes him to follow his brother to a funeral, where Mike witnesses the tall man lift a coffin on his own. Mike decides to investigate and discovers a horrible world where the tall man, along with his flying spheres, shrink the two half their normal size and reanimate them as slaves. That doesn't make sense. It is then up to Mike, his brother, and Reggie, the ice cream man, to stop the tall man. All right. IMDb gives this movie a 6.7. This movie went on to spawn 3 sequels, I believe. I think there's up to 4, Phantasm 4. Not positive, but we will find out in later episodes, as I will be covering those. This movie, in my opinion, is grossly overrated. I just recently watched this, not too long ago. I'd say within the past year. And it's just, man, it's bad acting, bad editing, bad special effects, bad directing. I mean, just, I personally think it's all an all-around bad movie. It's held in a very high regard. It's kind of a cult classic. I just, for the life of me, don't know why. I mean, it's not a horrible movie, but it's a bad movie. You watch it, and I don't know, I watched TV shows and movies and just pick things apart. And I had a fucking field day with this movie. Just picking apart everything. It's just, it's a poorly put together movie. Now, I know the director had a limited budget. We can look at these numbers here. The budget was $300,000, which even in 1979, well, I guess he must not have used his money smartly. Because, I mean, in the sequel, they get rid of the main actor from the first one, replace him with somebody else, because he's just a bad fucking actor, the kid. He's just bad, man. And I know this came out, there's some kind of debate whether what the fuck are those called? The little dudes with the hoods, the little fucking fellas that help out the tall man in this one, and then the dudes from Star Wars in the hoods and capes and hoods. There's debate whether who ripped who off. Whether the director of Phantasm, which is Don Coscarelli, whether he ripped off Lucas or Lucas ripped him off. Yeah, I forgot to cover that. It's directed by Don Coscarelli, produced by Don Coscarelli, and written by Don Coscarelli. So, this is his movie. I'm not sure his, go ahead and look at his filmography real quick. See what else he's put out. Jim, the World's Greatest. Kenny and Company, Phantasm. He did The Beastmaster. The Beastmaster was fucking awesome. I hadn't seen it since I was a kid, but it was one of my favorite fucking movies when I was a kid. Did Phantasm 2, Survival Quest, Phantasm 3, Phantasm 4. So there is a Phantasm 4. Bubba Hotep did Bubba Hotep. That movie, it's an okay movie. I think I'll cover it when we get to 2002. He also did, for Masters of Horror, Incident on and Off a Mountain Road, which I think was one of the better installments in that series. Very Jeepers Creepers-ish. As a matter of fact, I think, fuck, was Angus in that movie? Yeah, Angus the Tall Man, he was in that movie too. As a matter of fact. Yeah, like I said, overall, I think Phantasm is grossly overrated. It's a bad movie. It doesn't even fall into the category of good movies in my book. It's a bad movie, and it's not a movie that I can suggest that you watch. So that will do it for Phantasm. The Cat and the Canary, released November 1979. This movie was written and directed by Radley Metzger. It stars Honor Blackman, Michael Callan, and Edward Fox. Synopsis or storyline for this movie. When an elderly man dies, some of his relatives gather to hear the reading of the will. When it is read by his attorney, the old man lets it be known how much he despised and loathed his worthless kin. Ooh, nice. As a result, his will is structured in such a way as to set up a dogfight between his potential heirs as to who will collect his fortune. Sounds interesting. I've never seen it. Had never heard of it until I was putting things together for this podcast. Apparently it's a movie from Norway. I'm not even sure if it's in English or if it's a subtitled movie. It's rated PG, which PG for 1979 is damn near Disney-like, I would imagine. UK, yeah, it's an English language film. I mean, I don't have any interest in watching this. If anybody out there wants to get a hold of me and let me know what they think about it, feel free. You're more than welcome. I'll share that on the next show. IMDb gave this movie a rating of a 5.7. I will never give a rating of this because I will never see it. So, yeah, Cat and the Canary. Dracula came out July 1979. this version was directed by John Bedham. Writers on it are Bram Stoker, of course, and Hamilton Dean. This one stars Frank Langella, Laurence Olivier, and Donald Pleasance. Excuse me here, computer's going slow. So the storyline on this one is, when a ship is wrecked off Whitby, the only survivor, Count Dracula, is discovered lying on the beach by the sickly young Mina, who is visiting her dead friend Lucy Seward. Lucy, her fiancé, Jonathan Harker, a solicitor, and her father, Dr. Seward, who runs a local asylum, try to make the Count feel welcome to England. The Count quickly takes the life of Mina and proceeds to romance Lucy, with the intention of making her his greatest bride. Soon after the death of Mina, the Sewards call her father, Dr. Van Helsing, to come to their home. As Lucy falls deeper under the spell of the Count, Dr. Van Helsing almost immediately comes to understand that his daughter fell prey to a vampire and discovers the culprit to be none other than the Count himself. Dr. Van Helsing, Dr. Seward, and Jonathan Harker work together to foil the Count's plans to take Lucy away to his native Transylvania. Wow, that was fucking long. I do believe I've seen this, but not since I was a teeny tiny kid. I vaguely remember seeing it on regular TV, like fucking local affiliate horror Saturday movie show, some fucking shit. I don't remember it being good. I remember it being cheesy. IMDb gives it a 6.1. I don't know what I give it, because I don't fucking remember too much of it. Now, if this is the version where he burns up in the fucking sun, then this is the one I saw. If not, then I'm fucking mistaken. I'm not going to go back and rewatch it, because I have no interest in the Dracula fucking storyline. Every version of fucking Dracula is boring to me. Dated and just fucking lame. Bram Stoker's Dracula, I believe, was the last one that I saw. The one that Coppola directed. It was garbage. Fucking garbage. Keanu Reeves, really? Fuck that piece of shit. Not looking forward to having to talk about that one. And shit, I do believe I'm done talking about this one. When a Stranger Calls. Opened up October 1979, and this film was directed by Fred Walton, and it was written by Steve Feik and Fred Walton. It stars Carol Kane, Charles Durning, and Rutanya Alda. Brief synopsis here. High school student Jill Johnson is traumatized over an evening of babysitting by a caller who repeatedly asks, "Have you checked the children lately?" After notifying the police, Jill is told that the calls are coming from inside the house. Now, this is another movie that I haven't seen for a long time. I'd say 10 years, maybe. But I remember it being... I remember the first half being a tad bit chilling. And it really just slowing down a lot in the second half. I remember what I like most about this movie is the children are actually killed. When he keeps calling the babysitter, asking if she's checked the children lately, and she doesn't, but I do believe when they finally do figure out that the calls are coming from inside the house and the police get there and whatnot, they find the kids dead, which is fucking awesome, because you don't get that anymore. Kids don't get fucking killed in horror movies anymore. The wussification of the horror genre started in the mid-fucking 80s. No kids get killed. And as far as a remake of this movie, it was complete fucking cookie-cutter piece of shit. It was more of an action fucking movie than a fucking horror movie. It was goddamn ridiculous. But back to the original. Yeah, you know, I remember just because the killer gets away, I believe, and the second half of the movie is the detective trying to track him down Or maybe it's a copycat killer. I don't fucking know. I just remember the movie kind of falling apart in the second half. But overall, let's see. IMDb gives us a 6.4. It's a pretty good rating. I remember it being kind of middle of the road, so I'd give it 5-6 range, somewhere around there. We'd just say 5.5. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a movie that you want to check out if you haven't seen it before. It should be part of your library, not your library in your brain, not your video library itself, because it's not worth a buy. But if you're like me, it's worth a download. So go ahead and check that one out. The Prophecy, released August 1979. And no, this isn't the one with Christopher Walken. This one was directed by John Frankenheimer, written by David Seltzer, stars Talia Shire, Robert Foxworth, and Armand Asante. Story for this is a savage beast grown to monstrous size and driven mad by toxic waste that are poisoning the water spreads terror and death on a Maine countryside. I haven't seen this movie, nor do I plan to. Looks like a complete and utter waste of time and money. Should have never been made. IMDb gives it a 4.8. Whoever is listening to this and likes that movie can eat a dick. All right, The Prophecy, 1979. All right, that's going to do it for my thoughts on movies of 1979. Take it or leave it. I haven't seen all of them. Some of them I do plan on seeing now that I've, looked into it. But I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to my good friend Root Rot. He is going to sum up his thoughts of the horror movies of 1979. So here you go, Root Rot.
Hey, what's up, Bart? It's Root Rot from Wichita Blog. I'm here today to talk about the movies that you sent over to me from 1979. I'm looking at the list here, and I see Alien. Alien is an awesome movie. I absolutely love it. That whole first sequence when the alien pops out of the guy's chest. It's like, oh, holy shit. You didn't expect that to happen. So I'd say that Alien's an awesome movie. I've watched it tons of times, and I think it still holds up, even to today's standards. Second one you have here is Amityville Horror. When I saw this movie originally, I was petrified of it. It absolutely scared the shit out of me. I've rewatched it numerous times after that, and it's not all that great. I don't like it now, especially the backstory, being that I am someone that doesn't believe in ghosts, and I find that most ghost movies are boring because of that fact, and it's unfortunate because there are a lot of good movies out there that revolve around ghosts. Come to find out that the people that told the story were full of shit and they lied, so there you go on that one. The next movie you have is The Brood. I haven't even seen that movie, so I can't really talk about it. Then you have Caligula. All I can remember from this movie is a lot of nudity, and Malcolm McDowell, of course. So I think this one's definitely in the category of a need-to-be-rewatched film for me. So there you go. Then you have the 1979 Dracula. Dracula is the original. Bela Lugosi is boring. I don't give a shit what anyone says. Yeah, sure, blah, whatever. Okay. This one was equally as boring, and it looked like a horrible soap opera from the 80s. Well, 79. Terrible. I didn't like the movie at all. Hardcore is a crazy film. George C. Scott looking for his daughter, who turns out to be a porn actress, unwillingly, of course. And then when he's watching the porn and his daughter's in it, he's saying, make it stop. You know, it's crazy. Nosferatu, again, another vampire movie that I think the original is absolutely boring. So someone once told me, hey, well, if you don't like that one, what you should do is watch the remake from 1979. I watched it. I'm like, okay, done. And I don't like this one either. So, there you go. Phantasm. Great movie. I don't think I really need to go on about this. It's probably a favorite amongst most horror fans. The next one is Prophecy. Prophecy is one of those films that I'm not sure if I've seen it or not. Maybe I have, and maybe I haven't. I think George C. Scott's in that one as well. If not, then I haven't seen it. When a Stranger Calls, the opening sequence with the babysitter sitting there, the phone rings. Go check on the kids. Awesome. Classic. The movie as a whole, It's pretty good. The Wolfman, the remake. Now, I didn't even know they had a 1979 remake of The Wolfman. So I guess I can't really go much further into it. The original Wolfman from Universal is cool. Especially the whole transformation aspect of it. No, I'm kidding. That's fucking so tacky. That completes your list there. I want to add in a few movies that I felt were noteworthy to be on, I guess, movies from 1979 on a horror podcast type thing. Apocalypse Now, Francis Ford Coppola's, in my opinion, one of his best movies. People say, you know what, that's not a horror movie. I have to disagree. I think there's a ton of horror movie elements to it. Then you have a whole bunch of different aspects to the film that are influenced by different genres of cult films, such as Mondo. You have the animal death scenes, real animal death scenes to add. You have the whole exploitation aspect of film mixed in there. It's just a really good movie. And if you didn't know this, you may or... you probably do. But very beginning, you see a young Harrison Ford. And the other movie that I want to mention is The Wanderers. That movie is cool, in my opinion, because it has this real nostalgic 50s feel. You got the gangs. It's kind of like, what is it, that one movie where they sing and shit, and they dance around. West Side Story. And it has that feel to it. And then all of a sudden, you get this really dark, eerie feeling when that other gang, I forget what they're called, but it's just one of those films I really like, and I just wanted to mention it. I like it a lot, actually. Those are just a couple films I really like that you didn't mention. And I know they're not horror movies, but, you know, whatever. I think they definitely have a feel of exploitation and horror to them that that fits the requirements of your list. Especially if you have hardcore in there, you know. All right, dude. I'll talk to you soon. Later. Bye.
All right. Thank you for joining me again for this latest edition of the Horrorcore podcast. Love you bitches. Keep listening, keep downloading, keep sending in your questions and comments. They're always welcome. So thanks once again, and until next time.
Talk Hard!
This is a Horrorcore podcast. Now, this is a show that I totally dig. He reminds me a lot of myself when I did the Midnight podcast, but he just has more balls. It just makes for a better show.
There's this guy who does the show called Horrorcore. His name is Bart. Man, he lets it out, you know, like it is. He gives these really straightforward, fucking reviews on film. Really fucking fun show. Really just out there, honest, dude.
The Horrorcore podcast. That one I like in particular because, needless to say, it's a very open and honest show, and I like that Bart pulls no punches and definitely shares his views and opinions, and they're well informed, and he's also a great listener. And then
the Horrorcore podcast, I've checked it out. I've listened to at least the first two episodes, and I'll continue on. And that's from Bart over there at Horrorcore podcast. Man, this guy is an opinionated son of a bitch, man. And I mean that in the most positive way. He definitely doesn't approach podcasting the way I do. He is opinionated, and he's not afraid to give you his opinion. And that's what makes listening to that podcast so enjoyable.
Horrorcore Podcast.blogspot.com